Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. This is the great debate, but it could only be a debate if you joined in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls on 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back. Establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your TV has to be down at zero, or no one will understand either of us. You can also SMS the show on 4478-00-8066, or you can email me at comment@presstv.co.uk. It's an extremely busy day, and there's lots to talk about. First of all, there's a very rare victory for a Muslim in the English courts. You'll recall a few weeks ago, I brought you the story of the former Iranian diplomat Nasrullah Tajik, who was under threat after 6 years of harassment by British authorities, of being extradited to the United States, where he would no doubt have spent the rest of his life for the very, very, very serious crime of trying to buy binoculars in a CIA sting. Yes, that's right, not exploding binoculars, not nuclear-powered binoculars, just simple binoculars. It's obviously a crime for Iranians to be able to see anywhere beyond the end of their nose. Maybe see the missiles coming at them that are constantly being threatened. Maybe see the enemies coming over the border that are constantly threatening to attack them. It was simply monstrous, preposterous, in fact. And the attempt by the United States after, as I say, 6 years of curfew, really, of tags and curfew for the former diplomat, the High Court in London has just set him free. Hallelujah, I say. We'll be trying to talk to his lawyer later in the show. And in Egypt, the masses are showing that they are eternally vigilant. Vigilant about any attempt to rob them of the power that they won in the great Egyptian revolution to overthrow the dictatorship of Hosni Mubarak. They're not going to allow his dictatorship to be replaced by any other. Now, my own view is that President Morsi deserves critical support in the first period of his presidency. I think he did quite well, for example, over the recent attack on Gaza. And I think he's got a point when he talks about the blocking mechanism of the former Mubarak-era judges, who are a part of the old corrupt dictatorship but still have the power to thwart the democratic will of the people. But the masses didn't fancy the all-powerful edicts that Morsi issued and have rallied on the streets in their hundreds of thousands and forced the Egyptian president to back down, or at least to promise not to enforce these decrees to the extent that people were afraid that he might. We'll be discussing the Egyptian revolution, therefore, and where it's going. And we'll be talking about Palestine's bid for statehood at the United Nations. Everybody knows, I think, by now, that the British government, the government of Balfour, the government, the state which authored the entire Palestinian tragedy in the first place, doesn't even have the guts to stand up to the United States to the extent that, say, France or Switzerland does. Britain has announced that it's going to abstain this evening in the vote for statehood. Now, that won't make much difference in many respects because the vast majority of countries in the world will vote for Palestine. But the battle centered on crucial European support. Israel lobbied hard to try and block European countries backing this bid by President Abbas for recognition as a state in the United Nations along the lines of the Vatican, the Pope's state, which has status, just not full status. I'll explain later just what it is that they are worried about. But it's also, I told you, it's a busy day. It's also the day when the Honourable Judge, Lord Leveson, reported on the long-awaited issue of the iniquities of the British press, the sleazeballs calling themselves journalists who would never dream of investigating the real issues in Britain but were ready to hack into the telephones of people like me, but much worse, victims of crime, even dead schoolgirls. The scandal was so great that the government was forced to set up the Leveson inquiry. I have broadly welcomed its findings with one important caveat. Are you listening, Mr. Ofcom? You are not the people to adjudicate on issues of press freedom. You are the person who put Press TV off the Sky Network, all in the interests of freedom of expression. Of course, let's go to the phone lines, which are already buzzing. Abdul Malik is in Nigeria and wants to talk about Palestine. Abdul Malik, welcome to the show.
Hello,
go ahead,
George.
Sir.
I'm very happy to speak with you. And I just have to take this opportunity to pray for you that God will continue to help you for back in the Palestinians, the people, and the voice of the voiceless. I have to pray for you about the Palestinian non-member states at the United Nations General Assembly. And hello, Josh.
Yes, Abdul Malik, I'm having trouble with the volume of your call. I apologize for that if it's our fault. No doubt we'll try to get back to you. But while we're doing that, let me just explain where I stand on this issue. I myself do not recognize what they call Israel. I am not in favor of a two-state solution for many reasons. First of all, there is no possibility of Israel agreeing to any Palestinian state, which is meaningful and can properly be described as a state. Secondly, the way in which the West Bank and Jerusalem have been ruthlessly and illegally cleared, ethnically cleansed, settled with illegal settlements, surrounded by an apartheid wall, thousands of military checkpoints and so on, make such an idea, in my opinion, fanciful. So, I don't actually support President Abbas's bid to have a two-state solution recognized, institutionalized in this bid. However, in a battle between Palestine and Israel, between the idea of Palestine and the forces which choked it to death and wiped it off the map, well, I have to be with Palestine. So I'm very glad that it looks clear that the vast majority of countries are going to vote to recognize a Palestinian state. I just want a democratic state from the river to the sea. That's the difference between President Abbas and me. We'll hear what others have to say, though, including Munir in London on the same subject. Munir, welcome to the show.
Yes, please. I want to talk about this, what's going on in Palestine.
Palestine, yes.
I firmly believe that Palestine will go better with the leader of the Hamas to be run this country, because the Mr. Abu Muazzam, he is indirectly acting for the other side, and he is only showing off. He is not wholeheartedly trying for the Palestinian membership and this and that. He is only showing off something. That man is not acting honestly in the interest of the people whom he claimed to represent.
Well, I wouldn't go that far myself, Munir, though, of course, you're entitled to your point of view. He was elected as the president of Palestine. His mandate has run out, but then so has the mandate of the prime minister, Ismail Haniyeh. I know of the two, which I would prefer running the show, in the sense that the clarity of purpose of Ismail Haniyeh has been admirable, and the courage under fire of Ismail Haniyeh has been admirable. And President Abbas should have gone to Gaza during the recent bombardment And President Abbas should have been doing much more on many things, not least on getting the release from prison for the man who I think should be the president of Palestine, the hero prisoner Marwan al-Barghouti, and other political prisoners. But the reality is that the so-called Palestine Authority, which doesn't speak for all of Palestine and doesn't have very much authority, is playing with a very poor hand. And I'm not sure that it's fair to question the motives of President Abbas in the way that you've done. I certainly agree with you that the results of his leadership have been miserable, pitiful, pathetic. But I'm not sure that all of that can be laid at his door. So I certainly don't regard Abu Mazen as a traitor or any kind of dishonest actor. I just think he's not very much of a leader, and the Palestinians need a proper leader. Adam is in London too. He's got something to say on the very same subject. Adam, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, George. It's been a while.
Yes, good to hear from you again. Go on.
Come on, and then see you personally.
Thank
you. However, I beg to differ with your submission in terms of Palestinian or the two states of Palestinian and Israel. You see, when we get a fully recognition of Palestinian by the United Nations, then we can go to the International Court of Justice to seek justice for the illegal occupation of the Jewish or the Zionist state of East Jerusalem or Jerusalem or the Gaza or where they have occupied illegally. Then we can go and seek for adjudicator. So if the United Nations, majority of the countries, nations recognize that Palestinians should have a statehood, we would be, that would be a right step in the right direction. You see, when UNESCO recognized Palestinian culture and everything, the United States of America, with their double standard, immediately said they are not going to sponsor or fund UNESCO again. This is where some of us disagree with the so-called purveyors of democracy. We know what comes out of the elections that was held in Gaza or Palestine, where the Hamas won the majority. Immediately they won. The Americans and their allies said, no, we've sponsored an election which has been won by a terrorist group. Do we ask ourselves that? What about those who are killing the innocent Palestinians, the women and the children? Are they not terrorists? The Israelites, are they not terrorists? They are defending...
Well, look, Adam, a marvelous call, as always, and I agree with much of what you say. Let me deal with that which I think is questionable, because we want this to be a debate. First of all, it's true that if the Palestinian bid goes through tonight, it would theoretically be possible for the Palestinian Authority to take Israel to the International Criminal Court. Indeed, one of the reasons why Britain is abstaining tonight is in demand that Palestine gives an absolute guarantee that it will not bring any cases before the International Criminal Court. And it's fair to say that President Abbas has not given that assurance. However, he has said that the International Criminal Court or engagement with any of the agencies of the United Nations is not a priority for him, which I believe is a nod and a wink to countries like Britain. Look, give us this recognition and we will not take Israel to the International Criminal Court. I believe myself that that is a mistake and too high a price to pay. And you cannot get away from this fact that the resolution states that Palestine seeks recognition as a state alongside Israel on 23% of what was previously 100% of Palestine. Now, I can want that to pass rather than lose, but don't ask me to campaign for it, Adam, because it's not much to show for 60-odd years of struggle of the Palestinian people. It's not of much use to the Palestinians in the refugee camps in Lebanon or in Jordan or elsewhere around the world. It's not of much use to the Palestinians living in California who want to go back to their own land and their own house, but will not be able to do so if the theft of their own house is officially recognized in this way. So I think myself that the Palestinians will win this vote tonight. I think it will make no difference, in fact, because Israel will still not meaningfully negotiate. The European and other Western countries will not force Israel to meaningfully negotiate. Israel will not act any differently, and President Abbas will not take Israel to the International Criminal Court. That's my prediction. Of course, in a battle between Palestine and Israel, I have to be with Palestine, even if I think it's the wrong battle. Adam, thanks for the call. Nabil is also in London. He wants to talk about the same thing. Palestine. Nabil, welcome. Nabil.
It's Nasser, actually. It's
go ahead. George. What's your name?
It's Nasser, not Nabil. It's Nasser from Dallas, anyway.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Right, George, thank you very much for having me on your show.
Welcome.
And we talked the last time about the same thing, you know, and I always refer to the rulers, the global elite. You know, those who, you know, those the masters of the world. Now, when you take in the things to tribunal, to criminal court, there is nothing, you know, because they control it. They know the verdict. It's a waste of time. Now, the only way to free Palestine, their days are numbered, and it says in the Quran as well how the end of it. So the only way is to defeat the Zionists. That's the only way to, you know, to have freedom in Palestine, to have a free Palestine, and the Jewish and Christians and Muslim can live together in peace.
Well, I certainly agree, Nasir, with that final point. But defeating the Zionists can have many forms. We can defeat them in debates. We can defeat them in votes. We can defeat them on the battlefield, as the Lebanese resistance did, and as I believe the Palestinian resistance did just last week or the week before, and a mixture of all those things. We can defeat them by boycotting them. We can defeat them by refusing to normalize with them. We can defeat them by building solidarity support for their victims, namely the Palestinian people. So we have to have a dynamic approach to this question, not one which is fixated upon military means alone, because Israel has the fourth largest army in the world. It's a military superpower backed by the number one superpower, and the Palestinians are practically alone. The only country in the entire world that is actually supporting the Palestinian people under occupations to defend themselves is the Islamic Republic of Iran. And some people are rather meager with their gratitude for that, though not Ismail Haniya, who personally thanked Iran after the victory last week. And I was very happy to hear that. Now, let me go all the way to Croatia and talk to Myron about our Iranian diplomat, Mr. Tajik. Go ahead, Myron.
Yes, right. I believe it's a delay between us, but I think you can hear me. Can you?
I can hear you. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
All right. I support fully. I fully support Tala Ahsan and Nostratola Tajik. And I think the support should be growing for Tala Ahsan. He must not be forgotten. And the other one, which I don't remember his name, because Tala Ahsan has been deported to the U.S. And hopefully, Tala Tajik, as I learned from Press TV, which is truly a great channel, international channel, hopefully, Tala will be free to go back to his beautiful country, Iran. And I also, if I'm still there, if you're listening to me, if you hear me well, which I hope you do,
yeah.
I support you 95%, George Galloway. You do great, great things. The best, things which I love best is peace between Muslims and Christians. Like the previous caller, which I don't remember his name, said. That's the very important thing. You're one of the best persons in the world who does a lot for the peace between Christians and Muslims. There would be a lot more to talk about it, but unfortunately, time is short.
Yeah, it's very good of you, Myron. I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful for what you've said. There is absolutely no reason why there should not be peace between Muslims and Christians, and indeed Muslims and Christians and Jews. We are all people of the book, and we have nothing against people's practice of their heartfelt religion. The problem is with Zionism. The problem is with Israel. It was Zionism that poisoned the relations between Jews and others in the world. In Palestine, apart from anywhere else, the Christians and the Muslims and the Jews lived in peace for many centuries before the advent of Zionism and the beginning of the process which wiped Palestine off the map. The only reason why there were any Jews in the crescent of the northern part of Africa was because the Jews left newly Christianized, re-Christianized Spain with the Muslims, under the protection of the Muslims, so that they could survive, because they knew that the re-Christianization of Spain would mean a return to anti-Semitism, of which they would be the victims. I could talk like you for a very long time about all of that, but I'm very grateful to you for what you said. Let's go to Abdul in London about Egypt. Abdul, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Mr. Gallery.
Good evening, sir.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk.
Welcome.
To Stephen. Mr. Galloway, I want to talk about Palestine. What happened to Palestine, I don't blame no one. I blame their own people, Arabs, like Saudi Arabia and Qatar and others. Look at what happened in Syria. People put their eyes on Syria, but look at what happened in Gaza. Short time, how many people they kill. But Saudi Arabia, they always sponsor to kill Palestine. But if you come into Bashar al-Assad, it's evil. Always they call it evil. But their people in Saudi Arabia, if they don't calm down, all the peace we need, we couldn't get it. Because that people, they are main problem in that area, that monarchies.
Well, look, Abdul. Let's keep this in perspective. The first people to be blamed for the suffering of the Palestinian people are the Zionists and the settler state of Israel that they produced. The second people that are to be blamed are the imperialist countries, principally Britain and now the United States, who made that possible, the wiping of Palestine off the map, the casting of the Palestinian people to the four winds. The third people to be blamed are the Arab regimes, who have collaborated in many cases and been complicit in most cases in the crimes against the Palestinian people. And the fourth people to be blamed are the Muslims as a whole. This Ummah that they teach us about has been entirely unable even to lift a meaningful finger to help the Palestinian people recover their land. So there are many people to be blamed in this, but I don't think we should use terms like blaming the Arabs, because the Arabs are 350 million people, and probably 349 million of those are sincere in their belief that the Palestinian people have been the victims of a huge injustice which must be corrected. And many, many millions of Arabs are ready and have been ready to sacrifice much, including their blood, in order to assist the Palestinians to return to their land. The problem is the 1 million of the ruling elite in these Arab regimes who have betrayed not just the Palestinian people, but their own people in their own countries. Now look, God willing, I'll be back after the news with the second half of comment. We're talking about Egypt, Palestine, Leveson, and Mr. Tajik saved from extradition. I'll be back shortly. Don't miss it. Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. We need your calls, we need your SMS, and we need your emails. We're talking about Palestine and the United Nations. We're talking about the revolution in Egypt. Where has it been? Where is it going? We're talking about the extraordinary result in the High Court in London today, where former Iranian ambassador Nasrullah Tajik has been saved from extradition to the United States on the trumped up but very, very serious charges of having attempted to buy, yes, binoculars. And we're talking about Lord Leveson, the man appointed by the government to inquire into the sleazeballs of the British press. He's finally given birth to his report, and it is a bit of a mouse. I support it as far as it goes, with one important exception. I will never agree the Ofcom is the right body to oversee the British media. Ofcom, the very people responsible for attempting to extinguish this pristine voice of the voiceless called Press TV. Mohammed's in London. He wants to talk about Palestine. Mohammed, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, George.
Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I just wanted to say, even if Palestine is one day granted statehood, I just doubt if any there will be any difference. At the end of the day, Israel is a rogue terrorist state that answers to nobody, including the international community. So, like, what difference does it make whether Palestine is granted statehood?
Well, you know, it's a game of chess. It's not as if we're in a position to win the Palestinian struggle on the battlefield. It's not as if we're able to impose Palestinian statehood. So we have to be ready to use all means. Boycott, divestment, sanctions, diplomacy, battles in the United Nations, including the armed struggle. But armed struggle alone is not going to liberate Palestine. So we can't blame the Palestinians for seeking to box cleverly. I support their bid for statehood this evening in the sense that I hope it wins, because if it wins, it will be a defeat for Israel. But I agree with you, as I said earlier in the show, it's not practically in the short term or even the medium term going to make very much difference. President Abbas has actually effectively eschewed the one thing you might say practically could come out of tonight, namely the ability to take Israel to the International Criminal Court. Although he has not publicly said that he will not do so, he has privately intimated that he will not do so. So I don't think it makes all that much practical difference, but it clearly makes a symbolic difference, or Israel and the United States would not have tried so hard to stop it. Don't you see?
Yeah, I guess I agree with you in some way, but it just looks bad on them. But at the end of the day, the UN doesn't have that much power at the end of the day. Well, when they do have power, they utilize it in certain ways, for example, in Afghanistan and Iraq and that sort of thing. But when it comes to Israel, it seems like a bit of a two-faced sort
yes.
of scenario.
Well,
where,
two-faced.
Whereby they don't really implement their when a resolution is broken and that sort of thing.
Well, you're right about that. Two-faced doesn't quite do it. I'm not sure how many faces it has. One face it doesn't have is one that meaningfully assists the Palestinian people, who are, I remind you, the United Nations' legal responsibility. Israel only exists because of a decision of the United Nations. That decision effectively created a Palestinian state in 50% of Palestine, including all of Jerusalem. But nothing was ever done to implement that, and nothing has yet been done. Mohammed, thanks for the call. I'm going for the very first time, I think, to South Sudan to talk to Simon about Palestine. Simon, welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much. I totally disagree with the with the USA about why they are boycotting the voting for Palestinians, because Palestinians are on their own state and the USA is on their own state. I, as a South Sudan, we in South Sudan, we are in support of what is happening now. And we have our ambassador who is in the UN General Assembly. He is ready to vote for Palestinians.
He's going to vote. He's going to vote with the Palestinians, is he?
Yeah, I support the membership of Palestinians because Palestinians.
Yeah, but what is South Sudan? How are they going to vote? Because Israel played a big part in the creation of South Sudan and is very heavily involved in infiltrating South Sudan. Is your ambassador going to vote, Simon?
We only have bilateral relationship, not that we are in contact with Israel. We only have what is bilateral relationship with Israel. We are not supporting Israel, and we are not in position to stay with Israel.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, but as far as I know, Israel certainly supporting you and has been very, very active in South Sudan. Am I wrong about that?
I think you know what the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Israel, what he said. He said about South Sudan. South Sudan are people who are rats. These are rats who are coming to look after the resources of Israel. And we are not part of Israel. We are in a different state. We don't support what, and we are also in different continent. We are not in support of Israel.
Okay, Simon. Excellent. First time call from South Sudan. We are talking about many things this evening, not just the Palestinian United Nations bid, but also the continuing revolution in Egypt and the edicts of President Morsi. We're talking also about the extraordinary victory in the High Court in London today of former Iranian ambassador Nusratullah Tajik, who I highlighted on the show just a couple of weeks ago. Hallelujah, he is not, after all, to be extradited to the United States. And we're also talking about the Leveson inquiry set up by the government under public pressure after the revelation of outright criminality at the very, very top of Rupert Murdoch's media empire, under the noses of Ofcom, by the way, who never lifted a finger to stop it and never once concluded that Mr. Murdoch was not a fit and proper person to have a television license, even though most of his top executives are now on trial in a variety of courtrooms. But the Leveson inquiry looked more widely at the rottenness of the British media, its corrupt relationship with the police, particularly the Metropolitan Police, and its corrupt relationship, even more damagingly, to the British political class. So we're talking about all of these subjects. And Suleiman is in Manchester and wants to talk about Leveson. Go ahead, Suleiman.
Hello, Jack Galloway.
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening to you. Go ahead.
This is my first time. I would just like to say thank you very much for the great job that you're doing.
It's my duty. Thank you.
You know, this extradition, I'm glad I did not get through.
Go ahead. The extradition, yes. We're all celebrating that this evening here at Press TV. And everyone in the country should celebrate the fact that from time to time, the British judiciary is prepared to stand up for liberty, certainly more often than the Parliament is or the press is, don't you think?
I absolutely believe with. I agree with you. I still believe in British justice system, but there are so many rogue that is trying to change the law to suit their needs. That's why I'd like to say a big thank you to you, because at least you have the privilege and the chance to stand up for all this wrongdoing that is happening right now in this country.
Well, Suleiman, I appreciate that very much. By the grace of God, I have the ability to do it, and thanks to Press TV, I have the platform to do it. That's why we say we are the voice of the voiceless. But Suleiman, what about Leveson? What did you make of his report today?
The Leveson inquiry, the press has been heavily controlled. The dictator is just going to get out of hand. People are scared to death in the country to speak their mind. People are walking the street and they are so scared to express their own opinion. And we're spending a lot of money creating this Leveson inquiry that we don't even have a clear direction where it's heading to right now. The press
let me summarize, Suleiman, if I may. The press, the bulk of the press, and indeed the television and radio, have been pushing for self-regulation, which was such a disastrous failure in the past era that the regulator, self-regulator themselves, closed their doors and said, we're not up to this job. On the other hand, we've had a big push for legally backed statutory regulation to impose standards upon the British media, but with the consequent danger that politicians and the state would have too powerful an influence on the media. My opinion, Leveson has bridged these two positions quite cleverly, and I generally welcome what he has said. My big problem with the Leveson inquiry, and it's a very, very big one, he has appointed as the backstop regulator Ofcom, or rather he has recommended Ofcom as the regulator. Now, I believe that Ofcom is a disastrous regulator. They have proved themselves puppets, stooges of the government in relationship to Press TV, in their relationship to Sky, which was owned by a family who were effectively running a criminal enterprise, who were effectively organized crime. Yet Ofcom never once sniffed a single problem with them, even when their employees were actually rifling the telephone messages of dead, murdered schoolgirls. Suleiman, thanks for the call. Yunus is on the line. He's in Sierra Leone and wants to talk about Palestine. Yunus, welcome to the show.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you, Mr. Gallery. This is Yunus from Freetown.
Very nice to hear from you, brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to make a comment on Palestine, I think.
Yes.
Yes, this is a victory for Hamas, I think. This the ones that took a few weeks ago. And the Zionists have been seeing the defeat one after another.
Yes.
So that's my praise for Hamas. Then the Zionists are so pressured. They took all Palestinian lands, build them, and make rehabilitation centers for them. And the people are suffering. Nobody looked for them. No United Nations, nobody else. And you see the victory that came from Hamas. That one was very good.
Well, I must say I agree with that. I'm not myself, nor have I ever been, a supporter of Hamas. I respect them, of course, as the most important part nowadays of the Palestinian resistance. I don't respect them quite as much as I used to respect them. I don't particularly like them. I wouldn't vote for them. But Hamas have been victorious because their fighters stood firm. Israel did not have the confidence to enter on foot into the Gaza Strip because of the heroism of the resistance led by Hamas, but not exclusively, of course, Hamas. The Palestinian resistance in Gaza was too tough for Israel to invade. And there is no doubt that on questions of personal corruption and so on, Hamas is far, far preferable for the mass of the Palestinian people than any current alternatives on offer. People can see what the leadership of President Abbas's group have done with the people's money in the occupied West Bank. and they know that Ismail Haniyeh lives in a tiny shack in a refugee camp in Gaza with his wife and I think 13 children. And they can see the honesty and sincerity of Ismail Haniyeh. He's not my cup of tea. I wouldn't myself vote for him. I've already said I'm a supporter of Marwan Barghouti, serving 99 years in an Israeli prison, who should be the president of Palestine, who could bring all the factions of the Palestinian people together. But no doubt, Hamas is the victor. And the battlefield, as well as the United Nations diplomatic battlefield this evening, will reflect that. Yunus, great call. Naeem is in France. He wants to talk about Palestine too. Naeem, welcome to the show.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity. My question is, how do you make of the coincidence of Netanyahu's vote to Romney and after winning the election, the we saw on TV this Palestinian crisis and the Gaza strike? This is it.
Well, it's a very good question, Naeem. I have no idea how it can be that President Barack Obama, who told us in France, where you're calling me from, although he didn't know his microphone was live, and he thought he was telling only then-President Sarkozy, he told us, the world, that he could not look at the face of Benjamin Netanyahu, that he couldn't stand him, that he spent his time in office trying to avoid him. And yet, he's dispatched envoy after envoy, including Hillary Clinton herself, to threaten and warn and bludgeon the Palestinian people into dropping their insistence on recognition at the United Nations. President Obama cannot stand for office again. He has no need to raise any more billions of dollars to fight elections because he's not able to stand in any. I don't know why now in his second term, President Obama doesn't go for the historical prize of being the man who took the United States out of this strategic liability relationship with the settler state of Israel. Maybe he will in the rest of the 4 years that's left to him, but not if the start of the second term is anything to go by. Naeem in France, thanks. Abdul's in London, wants to talk about Lord Leveson. Abdul, welcome.
Thank you, George, for having me on your show.
Welcome.
I just want to pass a comment on the Leveson inquiry before speaking about Palestine.
Yes.
Our Honorable Prime Minister today mentioned that he's all for protecting freedom of speech, but it was during his watch that Press TV was taken off the Skype platform.
He's a hypocrite. He's a liar.
Which makes a mockery of it. And about Palestine, the person you rightly referred to as Little Willie, he was speaking today in the House of Commons saying that the UK will only recognize Palestine if it recognizes the 67 border of Israel, which was, you know, made by a preemptive, unprovoked attack by Israel.
Yes.
I mean, and what
and,
I
and, and
is,
which Abbas has already done, by the way.
Yes, I'm ashamed. Like, I feel Britain should atone for its sins. If you remember, in 1916, they sent, one of them was Lawrence of Arabia. They sent him to Mecca and all the places to get the sheriff of Mecca, Hussein bin Ali, to rebel against the Ottoman Turks who had appointed him as the sheriff of Mecca. And they led this guerrilla campaign against the long train tracks and then, you know, they got defeated. And then at the same time, the British were betraying the Arabs who were fighting for them by the Sykes-Picot agreement with France to divide up Palestine and the rest, you know, and totally duped them. And they were no match for the British. And then again, you know, in I think in 47, Abdullah again, you know, son of Sheikh Hussein bin Ali, he was in Jordan and having the Arab Legion under his command. He didn't let them fight Israel and in 47.
No. A perfidious Albion, Abdul, perfidious Albion is up to its neck in the blood of the Palestinian people and indeed the wider suffering in the colonized and divided Arab world. No doubt about that. And in many other parts of the world, including the place I'm going to next, Nigeria, to talk to Hayatuddin about Palestine. Very welcome to the show, my friend.
Okay, good evening, Mr. Galloway.
Good evening to you, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, I just want to talk about Palestinian statehood. I wonder what the United Nations is against the Palestinians having a state. I think this is double standard.
Well, look, the United Nations itself is not against the Palestinians having a state. The overwhelming majority, maybe 130 votes, maybe more, out of 167, I think, will vote for Palestine this evening. The problem is the countries that don't vote for it are the countries that have the power to effectively block it or to make it meaningless, Hayat al-Din. That's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, I hope there's not going to be a veto over this.
I'm afraid I'm losing that call. Also, my apologies to our friends in Nigeria. We don't often get a clear line to Nigeria, and I'm sorry about that because I know that we have a fantastic audience there in Nigeria. Now, let's see if we can squeeze in one more call. Cliff Shivanga. Cliff Shivanga, are you there? I don't know where you are. You're in Zimbabwe. Excellent. Go ahead, my friend.
Okay. Thank you very much, George, for giving me this opportunity.
You're welcome, sir. Go ahead.
Yes. I want to make a comment on the issue that is happening in Egypt.
Yes.
It is rather unfortunate for the continent, you know, to see that most of the governments that are coming in after throwing out the governments that were in existence, they are actually doing bad for the people. And at the end of the day, the people that were supporting them to come into power, they are still supporting them to remain in power and also go against the will of the people. And when we are saying this is a democratic process, I think they should also allow these people to air their views and also accept allow them to make sure that they do their demonstrations and not to attack them like what they're doing. The police, they're going against the rights of the people who are demonstrating freely.
Well, look, I think you make very powerful points, and I'm grateful to you for giving me the opportunity to expand on what I said earlier about where I think people should stand in relation to President Morsi. First of all, I'm very glad that he was elected rather than the other fellow who promptly left the country to look after his ill-gotten gains, Mr. Shafiq, former General Shafiq. I think that Morsi's victory was important, that the Muslim Brotherhood have a right to govern Egypt, and they have a right to see their policies and their program implemented. They have a right not to be blocked by unelected judges from the Mubarak era of tyranny, corruption, and dictatorship. But they don't have a right to change the constitution in ways which give all power to a single individual and therefore a single party. Egypt needs a proper constitution and quickly. Egypt needs a plural political system where power is shared across so very many parties that exist in the great Egypt. It's been marvelous for me. I hope it has been for you. And if it has, come back next week and bring someone else with you, because we need to build this audience around the world. Anyway, until next week, God willing, may you go in peace.
Make sure your television volume is set at 0. 0, 0. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You need a record for your phone number, and then we'll be back.
Can I have your telephone number?
Okay. So I'll call you back. Can you make sure your television volume is set at 0?